Hey Gems, welcome back to the show. Let's not waste any time and jump straight into the topic.
Elena is currently a media and partnerships lead for change.org, the largest online petition website in the world. A proud Texas native, Elena received her bachelor's degree in mass communications, public relations from Texas State University in December 2013. And in 2020, Elena launched Vital Money, a podcast that highlights her journey of paying off over $100,000 of debt and the pursuit of financial freedom after college. Achieving this goal in October 2021, Elena has been featured in publications like XO Nicole, Voyage Dallas, CNBC, and The Table with Anthony O'Neill. Elena is a member of Delta Sigma Theta, so she's my soror, and owns her own photography business in Dallas that caters to senior graduates in high school and college. And so I'm really excited to have you on the show. It's really crazy because, you know, we've had a long relationship, so for this to be the first time for you to be on the show is kind of funny, but that means there's a lot for us to talk about. And so I'm excited to hear the journey, because I don't think I've heard all the details of the debt-free journey part from the beginning. And I know that it's going to be encouraging for others to hear. And then just all the other things that you've been up to. So for you, what was it that, you know, sparked wanting to pay off all of this debt?
Yeah, well, thank you so much for having me. It's truly an honor. You can't get rid of me. So I'm so excited to be here and just like have a very real conversation. But yeah, so this started in 2015, and I was doing everything that I was supposed to do, or that you think you're supposed to do when you graduate college. I'm from Dallas, but I moved to Las Vegas for a new job. So I had this flashy job that did not pay well, but on the outside looking in, it looked like I was doing something out there. I had my own apartment. I was traveling. I was going to brunch every weekend with my friends. So I just had like a very active lifestyle. But meanwhile, back at home, like when I closed the doors, my finances were crumbling. I had no financial knowledge previous to this. I wasn't interested in it. I wasn't really taught anything about money except saving growing up. So when I found myself out in the real world trying to balance all of this, I just got extremely overwhelmed. I just hit a rock bottom moment. And I remember one day I was in my car. I was in front of a gym. I don't know why I was in front of the gym, but I was in front of the gym in my car, and I was crying to my best friend about like how I was just missing bills and payments and all of these things that were overwhelming me. And she was like, "Hey, I'm gonna send you this book called Total Money Makeover by Dave Ramsey. Just read it. You know, I've heard good things about it." So she sent me that book, and it just felt like this financial knowledge and like freedom, it just like awakened to me for the first time. It was just like extremely clear. And I got really convicted about how I was managing my money. And from there, I made a plan and decided that I was going to tackle all of my debt, which was over six figures. So I was able to do that in the end of 2021.
That's amazing. Because, you know, I think that the last couple of years have been really challenging for a lot of people. And it's a decision that you made. Like, how long is that now? What is it, 6 years ago now or so?
Yeah, it's almost six. Yeah, which is insane.
Like a choice that you made like almost 6 years ago is one that is benefiting you now. And I think that's maybe really difficult for a lot of people to grasp and kind of like commit themselves to, because a lot of the time the things that we want are long-term things. They're going to take delayed gratification, not instant gratification. And so we'd much rather go to brunch now every weekend than go to brunch one time a month. We'll budget it in and then, you know, use our money to go to whatever our goals are at that time. And so for you, do you feel like were there other people doing the same thing that you were doing that you were surrounded by, or was it kind of you by yourself and you're a lone wolf, you know, making this happen as far as support goes and kind of being surrounded by others? What was that like for you?
Yeah, it's really crazy because now like thinking about like when it started, I mean, if it genuinely did fly by. And like when I started it, it just felt like it was going to be forever. But it's just like, wow, like that one little step, and it's like changed my life. And, you know, it flew by. But yeah, to answer your question, I truly did not have a lot of support. I shared a lot of this in the beginning with like friends and family. Everyone's like, okay, girl, sure. You know, it's like a New Year's resolution. Like people say like, oh, I'm going to lose weight this year. And it's like, okay, that's cute. That's how a lot of people really approached it. I will say the only people that genuinely did believe what I was going to say in the very beginning was my aunt and uncle in Vegas. So I didn't really grow up around them. But when I went to Vegas, I started to develop a relationship with them. And one of the first things I did to kind of tackle my debt was ask them if I could move in with them. So they graciously said yes. I told them, I laid out my plan, what I wanted to do, and I moved in. And that payment that I was paying for rent was, I just treated my debt like a rent payment and started throwing it. So that was just one of the things that I did. But they were probably one of the first people that like got it. And yeah, and then I think as, you know, time went on, people started seeing me talk about it. They started seeing the numbers come down because I was very transparent. And then people started to believe it. And then when it happened, when I paid it off, everyone's like, oh, we knew you'd do it. So, yeah, but all that to say, like, it could definitely be a very lonely journey because I think challenging yourself to shift your mindset into, you know, abundance and freedom in your finances is very hard. And it's something that a lot of people would love to do, but unfortunately don't do. So it can be a very lonely journey to start that.
Yeah, I think having the right support can go a long way. But when you are convicted, I think that's like the word that really sticks out for me. And that's actually like one of the three values in Wealth and Wellness University is conviction. Because, you know, if you're not convicted, then nothing's going to happen. It's all well and cute to want something, but it's another story when you have decided that it's a must, that it's an absolute necessity. And so I love that, you know, you mentioned being convicted because that's different. And conviction comes across on the other end as confidence. So people look at you and they're like, oh, she's so confident in, you know, what she's doing with her money. It's like, well, it looks that way. And I guess to some extent it is because you're certain about what you've decided to do and you trust that you've created a plan that you can follow and execute to get results. But the confidence is a byproduct of the conviction. And so I think most people don't realize that's why we talk about focusing on your why. And so I would love to hear for you, like what your why was. Was it because you had, you know, felt the pressure of financial stress? Was it generational wealth, or like what for you was the factor that drew you to really feeling like this is why I have to make this happen now as opposed to later?
Yeah. And leaning into that confidence piece, I never forget you. I always say this, but you told me one time, like the confidence comes after deciding, like the decision is the path to growing your confidence. And I've always like taken that with me of like, if I just make a decision, like lean into this conviction, like the confidence will come and I'll start to feel, you know, even stronger about where I'm going. So I love that you said that. And sorry, tell me what was the question again?
Yeah. For you, what was the reason why you felt convicted to make this happen now, as opposed to like, you know what, I'm going to pay off my debt slowly or whatever.
Right. Yeah. So I think it was a couple things. I was just tired of feeling shackled. I was tired of letting, you know, all of these like money problems and the banks and all this like make decisions for my life and really hold me. I would say like shackled into not being able to live a life of freedom. And, you know, I will also say that I think what really drove me to this was at the time, my family was also just trying to figure out a lot financially and was going through a big financial burden. And I saw that. I saw different other family members struggling. And I think it was just this clicking moment in my head of like, I don't ever want to be in this position. Like when I'm older, I want to make sure that like everything that I have, like it's taken care of, like no one has to stress about taking care of me, or I'm not 60 wondering how I'm going to pay my bills, or I can, you know, do things like take care of my mom. So I think at first it was genuinely just like, I just want to pay my debt down, but it
morphed into, I want to live a life of freedom. Like, I want to go to the restaurant that I want to go to and order what I want off the menu, not order the cheapest thing because that's all I can afford. This summer, I'm surprising my brother. He's turning 21. We're 10 years apart. And I'm surprising him with the trip to LA. And and just being generous and loving on people, like all these things are things that I was handcuffed. I couldn't do those things before with all this debt weighing on me. So I think that drive and like constant reminder of like what life and purpose could look like if I reached this goal or even just walked toward it, just to see what would happen, I think is what kept me going. And I will also say that listening to a lot of different stories. So although there wasn't many people in my like physical life that I could share with, I was always listening to podcasts like this. I was always reading books and watching YouTubes and like every single day constantly and hearing stories of other people, like I could identify myself in them. And that also like really helped me like going and staying focused when it just like got really hard. So yeah, that freedom piece was like really big, big why driver for me.
Yeah, I think, you know, between making sure that you keep yourself immersed, like you mentioned. So even if it wasn't people that, you know, were immediate family or friends, you found a way to keep yourself immersed in being reminded, right, over and over again of what you were doing and being able to see other examples of people working toward their version of financial freedom, whatever that looks like. And so, you know, I think that it sometimes starts with ourselves, right? Like, I want to be free for, you know, and that's okay, right? I'm like, I'm kind of a little bit bougie. I want to do nice things. Like, I shop at Ross, but I want to upgrade my flight so I get some more leg room, you know? And so it's like, it starts selfishly, but I think then when you take care of yourself and you create a foundation, it makes it so much easier for you to be able to serve on a grander scale other people, as opposed to what I think happens a lot of the time, at least from, you know, a lot of the people that I talk to, is that they're giving, but they don't have a solid foundation that they're giving from. And then it compromises everybody in the situation because they're not being able to kind of progress past a certain point. And those who they're actually trying to support aren't progressing in the long term either. It's just this cycle that they're stuck in. And so I think, you know, to be able to have that conviction and keep you focused is what makes it so, like you mentioned, you're able to do fun things like surprise your brother with a trip. Hopefully you don't listen to this podcast.
And I know, he's not. You know, he doesn't think I'm cool, so...
I love it. He sees you and he's like, no.
I'm like, okay. I'm like, I
have no. But it's so exciting, like all of the things. When you're actually, because I describe, you know, being debt-free kind of like going to an amusement park. When you're in debt, it's like being on the outside of the amusement park, stuck in line to get your ticket.
Yeah.
And there's all these people in front of you and you're like waiting to get to the front so that you can get your ticket to go in. But there's going to be a price that has to be paid in order to enter, you know, and enjoy all the benefits. And once you get into the park, now you have like free reign to enjoy all the rides and eat all the churros and whatever the case may be, right? And so I think that it's so important to reframe the way that we see the choices that we make, because at the end of the day, is it what's going to serve us right now, or what we hope to see and what we can envision later on that helps us to stay fueled toward, you know, hitting our goal. So were there any times that you felt like you quit? You're like, what? I'm done. I can't, I'm not going to, you know what? I paid off a certain amount. I paid off $50,000. It's fine. If I just let this $50,000 sit here, it's okay.
Yeah, no, when you're listening, I listen to a lot of different like financial gurus, I guess you could say, but Dave Ramsey was someone who I listened to a lot, especially in the beginning. And I don't know if you ever listened to Dave Ramsey. I'm sure you have, but like other listeners, he's very intense and he's very like, you know, gazelle intensely, like, this is all you're gonna do. You're not gonna see the inside of a restaurant. So the first year I was just like, okay, I'm not gonna see the inside of a restaurant. I'm not gonna do anything. And then year two came and I'm like, okay, I'm not gonna see the inside of a restaurant. I'm not going to do anything, I think. And then year three came and I'm like, okay, this is a lot of money. I'm doing this alone, where a lot of times people do have partners, which is a great thing, but I'm doing this alone. It's going to take a long time. I don't know if going that hard, if I'm going to make it to the end, if I continue to just go this hard, because literally I was working 7 days a week. I had extra jobs that I was working, doing, working at like retail. I was doing freelancing. I, you know, was not saying yes to anything really, any type of like events. I didn't really fly home to Texas at all. Like, so I was definitely like zoned in, but I think by year three, I did start to get fatigued and was like, look, I don't think I can do this. Like you said, like, okay, 50,000, that's fine. Like, we're done. Okay. Like, it's okay. So I really started to reevaluate my plan, and something I struggle with a lot, which you probably personally know, is just this black and white. Like, I either have to go all the way in or don't do it at all, because like that's just like how my mind works, and it's really hard to think of like a plan in a gray area. And so by year three, I really had to figure out, okay, how can I do this but also enjoy some life, to where I'm not going to burn out and, you know, start going backwards or saying like, whatever, I'm just going to spend whatever I want to, this isn't worth it anymore. So I did start to do that. I started to, you know, plan a trip here or there, going to eat, saying yes. But I think what was like empowering was that now I had a plan and I wasn't just saying yes to everything and doing everything without thinking it through. And I think that was like a really big mental shift that had changed from before I started my journey. So yeah, there were so many times that I wanted to quit, especially like earlier, because I wasn't making that much money. I'm like super transparent. When I started, I was making like $30,000 a year. So I mean, wasn't making anything. I was living with my family, which is like, okay, I'm like 26, 27. Like, you don't want to be with your family. You want to be on your own. So that was, you know, although it was a blessing, it was also very tough. So yeah, there were so many moments, but yeah, I would just let myself feel those moments and then kind of rein it back in. So I think that like really helped, was letting go just a little bit.
Yeah, you know, I think that a lot of people struggle with the black or white thinking, right? All or nothing, right?
Yeah.
And if you're listening and this is something that comes up for you, you know, let this be a testament that there is a middle ground, there is a gray area, right? Both and does exist. You can both decide to pay off debt or save, you know what I mean, and live your life and still be able to, you know, not be on a completely restrictive plan. And I think psychologically, I think, I guess, as like a therapist turned money mindset coach, mm-hmm. that's what makes sense to me, is it's all well and great to be able to make progress in the short term and like sprint for a period of time. But psychologically, what's going to actually help someone get to the finish line, like actually be able to execute consistently so that it's sustainable? Because wealth building overall is a marathon, not a sprint. You're not going to build generational wealth overnight. You're going to have to be locked in for the long haul. So if you burn yourself out on the process in the first 5 years, how are you supposed to keep going for the next 45 years? Like, while you're supposed to be investing and diversifying your portfolio and different things like that. And so, you know, being able to find, to some extent, a way to exercise balance.
Yeah.
So you can have discernment. Like you mentioned, you said, well, by the time you decided to give yourself some slack, you had practiced so much and you had evolved as a person, it sounds like, and I would love to talk about that next, mm-hmm. that you had more discernment than when you had first started your journey. And so how would you say, because everything is be, do, have. We learn it backwards. We learn have, do, be. If I had financial freedom, I would be able to do the things I love and I would, you know, have peace of mind. When it's, you have to start with the being first, you have to evolve into the person that, you know, has financial freedom, because a person who has financial freedom, they operate from a place of abundance. They have a plan, like you mentioned, and then they do the things that are in alignment with who they're being. And then they have, as a result, the experiences that come along with it. So for you, what were some of like the mindset shifts or ways in which you evolved in your character and way of being on your journey that you can think of?
Wow. Yeah. So I think like this was very much like 90% mindset and 10% like doing the actual thing. And a big part, you know, I talked about conviction, but it was for me very much a faith walk as well and spiritual walk as well. And like really getting to in tune with not just like paying off the debt, but like purpose. And like we were talking about earlier, like legacy and like what this looks like, because the things that I'm choosing to do now is like absolutely going to change like the trajectory of my family, which is crazy. And so for me, it was a huge character building on so many levels. It was one, trusting the process, trusting God for me. It was trusting myself that I could do it, because I have broken a lot of promises to myself in the past. And sometimes we are so like, we show up so much for other people. And if we say we're going to do something for someone, we do it. But when it comes to ourselves, like we drop the ball. It's so easy because there's no one to like, quote unquote, hold us accountable. So to build that trust within myself that I could do something like this was really huge. Humility was a huge part, because again, like I was living with people, I was working extra jobs, I was doing like so many things that in my mind I'm like, look, I'm supposed to be at this like big girl job in Vegas, like I'm not supposed to be doing none of this, like but it was this like battle of like humility for me as well to like continue to step forward. And I think of like also just like organization. It's like one thing to say you're going to do something and it feels good. Like I was talking to someone and they were saying like, when you say like, oh, I need to do that, just saying like, I need can like satisfy us to the point where it's like, we don't actually subconsciously do it, because we've satisfied that by saying like, oh, I just need to do it, which is like acknowledging it. And that makes us feel better. So pushing past some of those things and creating like a plan, getting organized. I had never done a budget before this, but creating a budget. People hate the word budget, but you need one, okay? Sorry. it is what it is. But creating a budget and finding systems that would work for me, that would kind of help me like get past some of my blockers were crucial. So I think, yeah, trusting, building trust, humility and organization were like very big things that I think I learned and grew throughout the process. Yeah.
Yeah. Adulting is like a whole thing, right? Yeah. that's the word that's coming to mind is like, adulting. Those things, humility, organization, you know, just kind of mastering yourself, growing in your self-awareness and making the hard choice, right? So you said you listened to a lot of Dave Ramsey. He said, kids do what feel good. And adults do like what's necessary. They devise a plan and they stick to it. And so
right.
The more that I kind of like see and talk to people, like thousands and thousands of people, the more that it comes to mind is like, are you ready, willing, and able to do what's necessary to get the outcome that you desire? Because it's right. One thing to want something. That's cute.
Right.
But wanting something is not going to result in you having that thing. You have to be ready, willing, and able to do what's actually required in order for you to have the result. And sometimes what it takes is hard. Sometimes, yeah. Like you said, you can't get around having a plan for your money. If you don't want to use the B word, you better find another word that you like more. But you have to have some kind of plan for what money is coming in and what money is going out in order to progress with your, it won't happen. And no one that is quote unquote successful is operating without some type of plan to help them get to where they want to be, you know? And so
I think about like the piece of like your why. It feels very cliche, but it's super important. And when I, you know, times that I like felt discouraged, I really thought about like, okay, what are times in my life that it was like nothing was gonna stop me from getting this goal? And we all have that. Like if someone called you up today and was like, hey, I got 2 Beyonce tickets and backstage passes, but you gotta get down here in an hour, you are in the car right now, like trying to get down there. Okay. So it's like, we all have moments in our life that we have literally like failing was not an option. We knew that we were going to succeed in whatever was like, again, like I use example, like something as trivial as like concert tickets, but it just shows like when we're really like clear and focused and passionate about the thing that we're working towards, we will do it. And so it's like, why are we willing to do that for other things, but we're not willing to do it for financial things that will literally change our lives? And so I think, yeah, going back to like the character building and things like that, really holistically thinking of like how your life would change and like what the things you could do and accomplish is huge. And, you know, everyone has it in them to do it.
You know, I think that what you just mentioned is so important, because when it comes to creating a goal, a lot of people don't start or move because of fear, right? Mm-hmm. And they focus on the fear of failing, the fear of judgment, the fear of, you know, success sometimes.
Yeah.
What I love about what you said, even if it's, you know, as trivial as concert tickets, right, is that if you are, you know, a part of the Beehive and someone said they had backstage passes and all you had to do was figure out how to get to from one place to another, you would focus on figuring it out instead of focus on failure.
Yeah.
So you try to ask someone to give you a ride and they might say no, but you aren't going to stop there. You're not going to let that's a failure.
Right.
You might try to take your own car. You might get a flat tire. You just going to stop because you got a flat tire? No.
You're going to
try to get an Uber for the next leg to get to
right.
So it's like you would fail multiple times, I would assume, in trying to get to the location to get these tickets and see Beyonce, but you wouldn't focus on that. You would focus on figuring it out.
Right.
So you would hit an obstacle and you'd say, okay, so what do I need to do? How can I do it? What are my options? What if I did this? Let me try that. And you would experiment so that you are able to keep progressing. What happens is that most people do the opposite, and they instead of focusing on figuring it out, they focus on failure, which is really just their temporary setback. It's just a momentary obstacle, but they let that stop them from continuing to be creative and try other things to make progress. So I really love that you mentioned that, because I think that's one of the things that's really necessary is like, it's not like you're going to skip to the concert with ease. Like there's probably still going to be some, that's what most like movies are based on, right? Like they're trying to get somewhere and they hit all these obstacles in the way of getting, I'm thinking of a very goofy movie because clearly I'm like 10 years old. But, you know, they hit all these obstacles, but that's what makes it so much sweeter on the other side anyway, is that you know that you put in the work and that you overcame so many things to make it happen. And so I know that, you know, you are, you know, still within the first year of being debt-free now, like the debt-free afterglow of life, it's even better on this side. I know that you had some times where you felt like as you were getting closer, like, oh my gosh, I'm going to actually hit this goal. Because for a lot of time, you're just head down doing the work, you know?
Exactly.
And so then as you get closer, it's like, wait a minute, like I'm going to hit the goal. And then it kind of throws you for a loop because it's like, what's next for me? So for you, what was it like as you started to quickly approach the end of the debt-free journey and the beginning of like the financial independence journey? What things kind of came up for you?
Yeah, it was scary and it was overwhelming because, again, like you were saying, like your head is down and I've been doing this for like 5 years and I've had setbacks. And so you're just like running with your head down. And then you're finally getting to the end and you're like, there's just so many things that come up. These what ifs start to come up, like, okay, well, what if I just like reverse and like, you know, get back in more debt and, you know, all this is for nothing. You know, what if things don't change? Like, so you just start thinking about those things, but then you are also start thinking like, oh my gosh, I'm about to pay this off. Like, my life is about to change. Like, what are the things that I can start looking towards next? And so, yeah, I think there was like a mixture of fear and overwhelm and excitement there. And I think I'm still kind of like in that phase of like, hustle, kind of like head down, because I'm moving on to the next baby step, which is saving up. I'm saving up 6 months of like safe emergency fund expenses. So it's still kind of like, I'm still kind of doing exercising the same muscles. I'm a little bit more lenient. So I do have a little bit more fun, but for the most part, I still am hitting these goals. So I'm thinking like after that is over, that's when it's like, okay, I can really start making moves. Like, I can really start, you know, investing in, you know, build wealth building, which is very exciting. But it's also scary a little bit. So yeah, I think it's just been that mixture. But even just like the thought of being able to do some of that stuff is mind blowing. So yeah.
Amazing. Yeah, the figures you start to see in your bank account. Like, first off, because you, I'm sure you increased your income along the way during your journey for a while, right? So then you're making more money than you've ever made before. And it's like, huh. And you keep kind of, your brain transforms in like, I can make more money, right? And then from there, but you, then you're, the money's coming in and you're using it to pay off the debt, which you're grateful for. But then once you're debt free and then the money is going to you, that's a whole nother, that, and then you start seeing commas and things. You start seeing numbers that you ain't never seen in your bank account before. It's like, huh.
Yeah.
Okay. This is interesting, you know?
It so is.
As you cross the finish line and like, you know, actually made your last payment, you looked and you double check your accounts. That's what I do. I still look at my accounts to this day to make sure they say zero. for you, what was that like to like make the last payment and be done with it?
I cried. Like, it was just, it was very overwhelming. I called the bank to make sure that they got their payment. So I did all of that. I literally fell to my knees and cried because it was very overwhelming. Not only that I, you know, did this thing, but again, like I said, this was very much a, like a spiritual journey as well. And just like, having that experience and knowing like, wow, like I really did something that I said I was going to do, and it felt like impossible. And for a lot of people, they think that it is impossible, or they're waiting for the government to, they're waiting for Uncle Joe to come, and it's like, Uncle Joe's not coming. But yeah, it was just, it was an overwhelming moment. And then, you know, I have been very transparent. So I have been sharing, you know, with people that are following me, like my friends and family and stuff like that. And to get their support was like very overwhelming, because a lot of my journey, I did feel really, really alone. So it was pretty overwhelming to like see the, you know, support and people just like congratulating me and things like that. But yeah, it was just an overwhelming, amazing, beautiful day.
I love it. Yeah, there's just nothing like it. I would love to, you know, shift, right? Because you're multi-talented, you're multi-passionate, you've got, you're creative, you've got, you know, so many ways that you can serve in the world. And so for you, obviously we, you know, have been in each other's worlds for like years now, which is so crazy. Literally flies, right?
Yeah.
Around the time that you were, you know, finishing paying off your debt and starting to go into a new season was around the time that I was getting ready to kind of shift what I was doing to be able to support women in really having a community and, you know, a plan or a way of executing their plan to hit their goals. And so I would love to know for you, what things kind of came to mind when you were thinking about, you know, joining Wealth and Wellness University that really felt like, okay, this could be helpful for me in this season?
Yeah, well, for one, I think what I learned along the journey of listening to all of these different like financial gurus and people who were being really successful with their money is like, you can DIY your life, but you're not going to get that far. And it's going to be, things going to be hanging off on the side. Like, it's not going to look like the Pinterest picture. Like, it's just not going to happen. And I was just at this, it was interesting because, again, I was telling you, like, I did so many different things, like, during the journey to get money. So one of the things that I did was I started taking pictures and started this, like, photography business. And things like that, it was just like, wow, like, I can really invest in this now. Like, I can really build something, which was like, you know, when you're paying off all this debt, like, that's your focus. And so now it's like, I can take a little bit more chances and not feel like I'm losing everything because I don't have all of this debt holding me back. So I think what I needed was help. I needed a mindset shift. I needed to see people that were actually doing the same things that I was doing. I needed to share with community. I needed strategy. I needed all of that. And when you're in your head, you just paid off all your debt or you're about to, like, you're already overwhelmed. And I was so extremely overwhelmed with just that, like, thinking about, like, building a business or, you know, growing my money. All these things were just very overwhelming thoughts for me. And so I think the reason why I joined was, one, like, I, you know, you have been, like, walking with me for so long and you fired me from therapy and I was just like, you can't, I'm not letting you go. So that was one reason. but outside of that, I think I was at that point where I realized how important, like, help is and guidance is and community is, and you're only as strong as those, like, aspects of your life. And if you look at the people that are really winning out here, they have all of those things. They have coaches, they have community, they have courses and things that they're investing in to help them grow and level up. And I knew that I was shifting into a new season of my life and wasn't exactly sure what that was going to look like, but I needed that so much to navigate through that period of time. So it was, like, absolutely crucial for me to have.
Oh my goodness. I love it. It's so funny because, you know, I don't do therapy really at all anymore. And so I think it was like, you moved out of the state. And so as a therapist, you can't see people that are in different states. And
right.
Like, well, I mean, I offer coaching. It's a little bit different than therapy. It's there as an option. And so then you did coaching. And so I think that you've always, one of the things that, you know, I think that makes you successful in general and that makes you a great student is that you've been committed to your own journey and you've been invested in your own journey, right? Because there's some people who will invest and then they won't show up, or they'll invest and they won't execute, and it could be for plenty of reasons, right? But you have been really committed to your journey and really committed to facing hard things, which is a challenge, right? Because you're not going to like everything that comes up when you have support and accountability. It's not going to be comfortable, you know, 100% comfortable to look at yourself and the crevices and the lies you're telling yourself and maybe somehow the ways that you're holding yourself back and having a mirror held up for you to be able to be reflected in. And so, like, that's one of the things that I always say, like, for me, it's like, I want to be a good student because I want to attract good students. So I have to be willing to do the thing that I tell other people to do. And I love that you mentioned that people have coaches, plural. People that are really winning out here, as you said, typically have support in multiple areas of their life.
Right.
It's not even just one person. They've got, like, a personal trainer. They've got their business coach. They have a life coach. Mm-hmm. They've got a therapist. Like, they have a team, and that's how we see anyone else build. How is it that Beyonce is where she's at? It wasn't by herself that she got to where she is. Rihanna is not a billionaire because of only her own doing, you know? And so it's like, we have to recognize that we are worth having the support, that it's necessary to cut the guesswork. Again, it's like being at the amusement park. You can wait 2 hours for Space Mountain if you want to, or you can go ahead and get the express pass.
Yep.
And walk to the front. I'm a fast pass kind of girl. Like, if someone else has figured it out, like, let me not bang my head against the wall. And so I think that's really important. I think so many women are hesitant to, you know, invest in themselves in that way. But when Fashion Nova sends that text message, you're
right there.
That link.
And you know what? Like, after you experience that fast pass, skipping that line for the first time, you can't go back to the 2-hour line. It's just, it's not going to happen. So you have to continue what is that exposure that you get. And I think like people, it's interesting of like, yeah, like you said, when it comes to like the very fast things, very, you know, tangible right now things, people don't even give it a second thought. But when it comes to like the investment, which is going to take work and it's going to take commitment, and it's going to be, you know, for a longer period of time, people struggle with that. But I think it's like the most like powerful thing you could ever do with your money is getting help. And like for me, like you said, that was definitely different ways. Like therapy was something like I started during my debt-free journey paying for therapy sessions, and that was crucial for me, and that really helped me get to a level that I felt like I was stuck at. And I literally, the first day we met, I said, I am stuck. Like that was like the words, and it literally got me from that to just a whole other level. And that's just, I've started to just invest in so many other things. And so, yeah, like don't be afraid to like build your team and like ask for help. And it's like baby steps. Like at first that was just reading books, investing in, you know, buying books and things like that. And as I started to get more knowledge and get more assets and money, I started to invest in other things. So you just can't be afraid to spend money on stuff like that, because the return on the investment is going to be like tenfold.
I love it. So, you know, you mentioned feeling like it was a great opportunity to get support and have community and, you know, a strategic plan. Now, it's one thing when you think you're going to get something. On the other end, you know, in the process of actually going through the experience, what was that like for you? Do you feel like, you know, you experienced what you thought you were going to, or what benefits and value do you feel like you did receive in the process? And I mean, you have lifetime access, so it's just the beginning, but thus far, what do you feel like has been the biggest benefits and value?
Yeah, well, I will say this is the first thing that pops into my head. So I'm going to just say, I think like owning my like genius or owning like who I am was like really huge. It was something that like we constantly had to like share. We constantly had to ask questions. We constantly had things we had to work on. And like through that process, like I couldn't do what I normally do, which is shrink back or say that I'm going to do something and not do it. Like there was so much accountability that I think came with it that I had to like say it with my whole chest. So I was like, you gonna say you gonna start a business, like say it with your chest. Like you can't just, you know, write it in your little journal and close your journal and don't share with anyone like you've been doing. So I think like it was really important for me to say things out loud, things that I have been like carrying in my heart, in my mind, things that I have been writing in my journals, but I still wasn't like really acting on them or jumping in fully or fully believing that this is someone I could be or a life that I could achieve. And so having that group and talking with you was like so big, and just building my confidence in being able to like do those things and share those things and ask a whole bunch of questions. And when I am feeling stuck, like feeling empowered to like ask and talk through different strategies and ideas. So that was like, yeah, huge for me, especially in a season where it's like I am moving from like all this debt into not having it. So yeah, that was big.
I love it because, you know, well, obviously, I'm not going to let nobody slip by, you know, I'm not gonna let you dim your own light, at least not if I'm around, you know, so.
No, I even have to catch myself like here of like saying like my little photographer, I'm like, oh, don't say it because she's going to call you out right on this podcast. You're going to be embarrassed.
Embarrassed, but it's the truth. It's the truth. Yeah. You know, because you have value and what you're doing is significant and it matters, because with your photography business, it's not that you're just taking pictures. It's that you're helping young people to build their own confidence and be able to transition in a time in their life that is really pivotal from, you know, high school, young adulthood into, I don't know, still young. If you're 18, you're still a young adult. So I don't know what to say. Younger adulthood. Right, into independence and into like quote unquote the real world.
Yeah.
And that's really important work. It's really impactful work. It's really necessary for young people to be able to transition with more ease and for you to be a person that can help people do that because you're helping them to, you know, get behind the camera and feel differently about themselves. It's so necessary. And I love that you know, positioned yourself really well because it allowed you to have higher risk tolerance. So this is why it's important to get in control of your finances, because you have very low risk tolerance if you're living paycheck to paycheck. You have very low risk tolerance if you are not maximizing your earning potential. You don't have the same bandwidth and space mentally, emotionally, physically, fiscally, spiritually, as when you take the time to create a foundation to where you can invest in camera equipment, which I know that you've done recently, right?
Which is expensive.
You can invest in masterminds and having support. Yeah. And so I think, you know, being able to increase your risk tolerance is a really huge thing, because then it helps you to do things with more ease and get out of survival mode, you know?
Definitely.
Which is a whole thing. It's a whole thing.
And even like after you're paying off debt, like, sometimes survival mode is such a like subconscious default. It's really hard to challenge yourself out of that. Like you mentioned a lot of like moving from scarcity into like abundant mindset. It's really hard to do that even after you've accomplished that goal. And so like even challenging yourself to do those things can be very difficult. But yeah, I mean, I'm in a stage of my life where it's like, I just want everything that God has for me. And like, I'm just putting myself out there, but I need help. I need help because there's so many times when you're by yourself, you're your worst critic. And, you know, you start to think negative. You start to think like this, it's not going to work or whatever. And you just need people around you to say like, just try. Like, you may not know what the outcome is going to be entirely, but just try and see what happens. And even if that's like, just try to build your savings, you know, up right now, like where things are just like uncertain, just try and see where you get. And you just will be so surprised because I never thought I'd be here. So.
Oh, yeah. Goodness. Yeah. When you think back and it's like, if someone would have told me 5 years ago, 6 years ago or whatever, like where I would be today, I'd be like, right. You sure about that?
Yeah, that's funny, but I don't think so.
I love it. I love it. I love it. So before we wrap up, you know, for anyone who's listening, that's like, okay, you know, great story. That's wonderful. $100,000 paid off. Cool. But it's not, I don't know if I can do that. Like, what would you say to someone who's listening who has a vision beyond where they are right now and they don't see the path, and maybe have a tendency, you know, to get some planning paralysis. So they're really good at making plans, but they're not necessarily really good at executing. Like, what would you say to that young lady who has this vision that could really go beyond just getting herself in a good place, but help her to have a greater impact in the world? For her to be able to, you know, put another foot in front of the other, actually get moving on the things that she's always planning, but not necessarily pursuing.
Yeah. Well, first off, I would say, like, if you're listening, there is something inside of you, because this is just the nature of the people that I think Jacint attracts. But there's something inside of you that won't go away. It's this little whisper that something is more. There is more to life than what you're doing right now. There's more to life than clocking in, clocking out. There's more to life than stressing about bills all of the time, and being so worried about, you know, where you are right now in your future. Like, and if that's you and you feel like you have that whisper, you are correct. There is more. There's so much more. And I think, like, leaning into that and being curious about it and not stressing so much on the outcome, which is so hard to do because, again, I am very much a black and white person. So I'm like, either I'm going to figure it out or I'm not. Like, but you have to like trust the process that like your journey is going to be your journey. And sometimes that starts with just being curious, you know, instead of I really have to break my journey down in chunks. So I wasn't constantly
always thinking about the 100,000, I was thinking about, okay, this month, let me just pay off that 1,200 or whatever. So, you know, even though I had that goal in mind, I literally wrote it on my mirror. So it's something that I could see every day. But when I was thinking about, I was thinking more so like, what can I do today and not worrying about tomorrow? So I think that that is like extremely crucial, is to lean into that whisper that's inside of you, to be curious. And I was listening to someone's podcast, and it was a lady who started a brand, and she, her like tagline was like, do it ugly. And I just like love that, because it's like, we want to have every single step laid out perfect, knowing it's going to be perfect, that there's not going to be any type of risk, anything, before we will step a toe out into trying things. And sometimes like, you just can't think about doing it perfectly. You have to think about doing it ugly. You have to think about just putting yourself out there and doing it. And you're going to mess up. You're going to fail. You're going to have setbacks. You're going to quit. You're going to start. But just staying committed to that journey and doing it ugly, I think is like extremely important. But yeah, I would just say like, there's so much more inside of you. There's so much purpose inside of you. And you know it, because you're listening to this podcast. So lean into that and let that be the driver of just choosing better for your life.
I feel so encouraged. I was like, for a second, I was like, wait, is she talking to me? Is that okay?
I'm talking to me.
Oh my goodness. And a lot of times we say the things we need to hear, and we have to reaffirm on a regular basis. Like, yeah, you said, you put it down and you looked at it every day. It's not that, yeah, you do it, it once and then you just, you know, it lasts forever.
Right.
You have to reaffirm on a regular basis what it is that you're working toward and why and who it impacts, because beyond your why is the who. It impacts you, but it also impacts people around you as well. And so I just have to give you your flowers while I've got you here publicly. I'm just so proud and to know you and to be able to witness, you know, the parts of your journey that I have, and to be able to see how you've evolved, you know, and continue to evolve, because it's a constant process. Mm-hmm. And, you know, having y'all in the community keeps me encouraged. It keeps me accountable. I mean, like, same thing. Like, yeah, I'm gonna have to do something when I get off this call. Like, you know, it keeps me encouraged too. And so it's literally like a pleasure to be able to support and watch and be able to cheer you on, because everything that you're doing and everything that is in you, that light and that whisper that you followed, is so inspiring, because it's really, really, really hard.
It's so hard.
It's so hard. Really hard.
It is. So, and I don't want to sugarcoat and be like, you know, it's hard. That's why it's like, you have to do it ugly, because it's going to be ugly. Like, your emotions are going to be all up and down. You're going to, you know, self-doubt all the time. But pushing through that, like, and achieving something bigger than yourself is like the most amazing feeling. And I'm just getting started, but I just want so many other people to feel that, because there's just so much more that so many people have to give.
I'm so proud of you. Let us know where everyone can stay tapped in. We'll make sure that we've got links in the show notes, but where can people tap in with you and learn more about what you're doing and continue to follow your journey?
Yeah. So when I was in the panoramic, I started a podcast when I had gotten laid off, which was part of like my wild journey of paying off all this debt. And so I kind of started to keep myself accountable. But now I love to just share stories and things that I am still learning as I'm like just growing my wealth journey. So you can follow me there at Vital Money Podcast, and that's like on all platforms. And then if you just want to be social media besties, my handle is at Hot, H-O-T, Laina, my name, L-A-I-N-A underscore. So you can follow me at Hot Laina, and yeah, I would love to talk to you, encourage you, encourage you.
Encourage me. If you're in the Dallas area and you need a photographer your high school students, if you are a teacher, if you are a principal, if you are a coach of a team in the Dallas area, then Elena is definitely who you want to tap in with, because she's phenomenally talented at working with youth to be able to take beautiful photos, but also take it one step further and really help them to learn lessons in the process and build their confidence so that they can transition, you know, into independence with more ease. So I would highly suggest, you know, anyone who might know someone or is someone in the Dallas area, you know, that is looking for a photographer for high school graduates, as well as, you know, young college students as well, then this is who you want to talk to. Okay.
Yes, so, yes.
Again, I just truly appreciate you. Glad to know you. It is only the beginning, which is crazy because there's so much more ahead. And
yeah,
sometimes we only map out our life to a certain extent. And it's like, oh my gosh, I have to like start getting more creative, you know, like what other stuff do I want to do or experience? But it's a lovely journey and we're cheering you on all the way.
I really appreciate it. I thank you for just like the impact that you have had in my life, and why I joke about you can't get rid of me, but it's true. I'm following you wherever you go. So sorry, we're here. We are here. Like team just sent all the way. But no, I really appreciate you just providing this platform and this space to just be vulnerable. And just, I hope that someone just connected with it and just feel inspired to like start their journey, keep going, pick it back up if you quit, cause that's okay, but pick it back up. So, I also want to give you your flowers because you are a crucial part of why I can even keep going today. So I thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Well, Gems, we will talk to you next time.
If you enjoyed this episode and would like to support the podcast, you have a few options. You can subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen to it, and you'll be notified as new episodes are uploaded. You can also leave a review or send me your feedback. Doing so helps me to create content that's relevant to what you want to hear about. And last, you can share the podcast with a friend. Whether it's directly or sharing it on your social media, it helps them to know that you think that this is information that they need to hear about. Thank you.